to the book of Galatians, if you would, please. Last week we began a study here in the book of Galatians, and we'll continue that this evening. So if you can stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, Galatians chapter 1, and I'm just going to read the first 12 verses here as we begin again tonight, continuing this study. I shouldn't say last week, a couple weeks ago, actually, we began this study, and we have some more things to talk about this evening concerning this introduction that Paul gives to the church of churches of Galatia there in that area of the world. I'll just read here. You can follow along. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if yet I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So as we continue to talk through this book of Galatians, since we had a week off in between, I want to remind us that this is one of the books of the New Testament that helps us understand the justification of faith and not by works, that it is an important book of the New Testament, settling the questions of the law versus grace and of works versus faith. And let me just say something that is seemingly a hot topic once again in our world today. It's interesting how, if you look through history, you see this thing of law and grace, you know, kind of flare its ugly head every so often, etc. And so I feel like it seems like today, in today's time, certainly, that it's doing that once again. But let me go ahead and tell you what Paul told them twice in the same chapter. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than ye have received, let him be accursed. Okay? That's why one of the reasons, let me just tell you something. I didn't grow up as an independent Baptist. I grew up in a, if you will, a good Christian home, but I wasn't an independent Baptist. And can I just tell you something? When I found independent Baptist churches, it was a breath of fresh air. Okay, it was like, wow, I have just been to church for the first time in my life. That's how I felt. I was so relieved of, if you will, the simplicity of the Word of God. And you know, God means what He says, and He said what He means, and it's that easy. And there are those that are out there that would pervert the gospel. They would pervert the Scriptures. That's why it's important to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you know what? For me, I was so relieved when I knew there was just one Bible. One book. I don't have to decipher, well, is this the word of God? Is this the word of God? Is this the word of God? Is this the word? And you know what? It gives me confidence. So I can tell this group of people, no, that's not the word of God. And I can tell this group of people, no, that's not the word of God. Recently, out soul winning, I've had the opportunity to talk to several Muslim people. And they say, oh, we accept all faiths. Yeah, they are very glad to have all faiths assimilate to theirs. That's what they mean by that. They will accept your transition from your faith to theirs. That's what they mean by that, and that's certainly the case. But let me just say, and they say, oh, yeah, we're for Jesus. We're pro-Jesus. The Bible, yeah, that's a good book. I mean, they'll tell you that kind of stuff. But I tell them, well, you know what? The Quran is not a good book. It's a false book. Written by a false prophet. They don't like that very much, by the way. And I use a little bit of circular reasoning or logic for them. I said, look, okay, the Quran says a lot of stuff that doesn't agree with the Bible. And the Bible says a lot of stuff that doesn't agree with the Quran. I said, let me just tell you something. They both can't be right. Now, I will be fair and go ahead and put out there that they both can be wrong. I'll be fair. Okay? Now, I don't believe that about the Bible. But to be fair, in a fair sense, they both can't be right and they both can be wrong. Or one's right and one's wrong. But they both can't be right. So, please understand, these things are things that I grabbed hold of, and I'm so glad, because you know what? I don't have to go to bed at night, if you will, and worry about my salvation, because I have faith. And my faith is, if you will, shown by my works, as James says. And by the way, Paul uses that argument here. He says, look, we've been true to you. We've been open to you. We have preached to you the word of God. And this is not coming from men. This came from God. And so Paul is building a case, and he is talking to the Galatians, and he says, I marvel in verse 6 that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And so he goes on to say, we're going to talk about some of these things here. But now, these Judaizers had crept in, and it was their business to unsettle the gospel. Okay, they were trying to undermine and to take away the peace that Paul had given them through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we know that the peace of God passes all understanding, right? We know that the peace of God comes in upon salvation. We have peace with God because we've been justified to God through Jesus Christ. Isn't that peaceful? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ has paid for your sins and you've been brought into peace with God? So guess when we get out of peace with God? When we sin, right? When we're out of fellowship, we become out of peace with God. And we need to get that cleansed so we can be at peace with God. Who wants to be at odds with God? No, thank you. That doesn't sound like fun, right? By the way, don't raise your hand. Anybody ever been at odds with God? Yeah, that's not a good place to be, right? And you ought to want to get that right as soon as possible. Now, he says here that he marveled. Look at verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. And they were bringing trouble into the local church through the perversion of the gospel. Now, just a few notes tonight, that this word pervert is the Greek word metastrephei. I think that's probably not right, but it is a strong word. It is a word that is very strong. And by the way, the word pervert also is translated from the Greek into English from another Greek word, which is not as strong. It's just a word that means to turn or to deceive or to distort. There's another Greek word. But this particular Greek word is the strongest of perverting words. Okay? Y'all see what I'm going for there? All right? So in the Greek language, there was a more mild word that meant to pervert something. And then there was this stronger word that meant to pervert something. And Paul chose to use the stronger of the two. Now, why? Because this offended him
so much. Because it was so imperative and it was so burdening to him and so offensive to him that these people had come in and tried to pervert the converts that he had made. These churches that he had started. And he took it personally, if you will. He was very, 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 very upset by this. Okay, that's why he used this word, the strongest word he could find. And this word is also used two other times, one by Luke and once by James. Go over to Acts chapter 2 and verse 20. Acts chapter 2 and verse 20. And I'm just highlighting this to help you to see and to note how strongly Paul felt about this, okay? So we hear here in Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up full of the Holy Ghost preaching, right? Day of Pentecost. This is a monumental event of the church here. And look at verse 20. He says, this is, of course, what God is saying about the last days and pouring out his spirit and the people will prophesy and wonders and all these things. And then in verse 20, he uses this word. He says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Okay, so that's a pretty amazing event, right? But that word that's translated there, turned, is the same, that same Greek word, metastrephi, and that's used here. This is where the sun, which is light, right? When you look up, by the way, don't look up at the sun without those little glasses or those little shade thingies because you'll burn your corneas off, right? All that stuff. But if you will, in a physical sense, that's our best illustration of light and pure light, right? Imagine the sun being turned into darkness. Now, we were just out in Hill Country this end of last week. And let me just tell you something. I know, Miss Lisa, you know this because your brother does astronomy, right? Yeah, astronomy. And is looking at the stars and things. And that's why he lives where he lives. And actually, your mom said he's kind of mad about all the city people coming out there and messing up all the light, bringing all the light in. But we were out there, and listen, I tell you what, you don't, I remember at home it was like this, you know, farm country, North Dakota, but boy, it's dark out there. And I'm just telling you, if you think about the darkest place, you know, I guess in most houses, maybe your bathroom, because it has no windows or things like that, right? You go in, you shut the door and it's nighttime, you can't see anything. I mean, you can wave your hand in front of your face all night long and you couldn't see it. The sun, something that's absolute light, turned into darkness. It's a complete transformation. It's not just a distortion. It's not just a sleight of hand. It is a perversion. It is a complete flip-flop. So, just like is illustrated here in the book of Acts, now go to James and chapter 4 and verse 9. We see the other place this particular word is used. And by the way, this is important to note that he didn't use the more mild word for perverted. He uses the stronger three times in Scripture. Acts, Hebrews, and James. Look at chapter 4 and verse 9. Now, we alluded to this morning. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, right? And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Now, can you think of any better transformation than light to darkness or laughter to mourning? Okay, it doesn't get more opposite than those things. So go back to our text in Galatians. Because of that severity. He says that this gospel, if you will, and I love how he says this in verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So he's saying it's not even just another one. They are actually turning this thing completely opposite. It's not just a distortion. It's not just a slight on the things that we taught you. They are completely turning this thing. It is going from light to darkness. It is going from laughter to mourning. It is going from the gospel of Christ to not the gospel of Christ. He said it is so severe. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about that in that light before, as you've read through here in the book of Galatians. But that's exactly that they had made the gospel the very opposite of what it really was intended to be. You say, well, they were just adding to it. No, they changed it completely. It went from completely okay to completely not okay. All right? So that was the severity, and that's why Paul was so upset. And he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from this. Okay? So, now, over in Acts chapter 13, let me read this to you. Well, you can go over there if you'd like to. I'm going to read it anyways. I want you to remember what happened to Paul early on in his career as a missionary, if you will, or as an apostle. Remember, he and Barnabas were sent out and they went to Cyprus. So in verse 4, they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, so that's the same guy, Bar-Jesus, he's a Jew, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, I love this part, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease, here we go, to pervert. Now, to be fair, this is the lesser of the two words in strength. But he says that thou do not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, Paul was not new to this perversion of the gospel. And if you will, if he's going to be so bold to say the things that he said to Elymas, and use a lesser word, if you will, I'm just trying to magnify the use of this particular word because of what Paul was dealing with. He had labored here in Galatia to these churches. And by the way, we know that there were many of these churches. There were probably 7 or 8 of these different churches that he had started and gone through helping. And he had invested and invested and invested. And now these people were coming in maliciously turning them from the truth. He was mad. And by the way, he should have been mad. Because that's not how it was supposed to be. Over in Philippians, Paul writes this in chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye always have obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. There's that word again, but this is again the lesser of the words. But I just want you to understand that the world out there is perverse. And they would slight, distort, degrade, and completely turn the truth into a lie. And let me just tell you something. Just like their father, the devil, they'll do it as subtly and as cunningly as possible. So all I can say to us is, watch. Be aware. Look for these signs and these warnings that are mentioned here in the scriptures. Now, let's continue with the text tonight as we finish this up. Man, you guys are listening fantastically. I am trying to cut down a little early because we have budget things to go over. So I don't want to abuse your time. So I am aware of that. But let's look here at verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Okay, so what Paul is saying here, he says, what we told you the first time was the truth, and do not be deceived by anybody else that comes in behind us saying that the truth is not the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Because that's what these Judaizers were doing. They came in and they basically would congratulate these and they would pose themselves as Christians and say, well, yeah, we're glad you got saved, but did Paul tell you about this? Oh, no, he didn't tell you about... Oh, well, you know, he just might not have had enough time here to get to all the things. So let me expound to you more perfectly these things. Right? And listen to me. That's what these groups do. They come in and say, well, yeah, you know, that's what the Bible says, but did you know that it really says this? And it and over here in this passage, he really means this. And, you know, and then, by the way, some of these groups, they say, well, you know, in this text, it's better translated this way. See, whenever I hear these things, I mean, warnings go off in my head. I can think of the collision warning on ships. I mean, it's there's something wrong. All hands on deck. We're sinking. it's that bad. You see, they can have their opinions. No, they can't. It's the word of God. It's unchangeable. Our God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. And don't let somebody else try to tell you it's not. Because it is. He says, I love what he says here. Look at verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God? You know, he's like, what are we talking about here? We're talking about God's word. And listen, folks, that's why I'm getting a little tired of some of these so-called Christians, or if you will, so-called Baptists, that are starting to argue with or wanting to change the scriptures. Just stop it. They're perverting the gospel. They're trying to turn it from light to darkness, or from the moon to blood. I mean, they're trying to change it completely. From laughter to mourning. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Now, back to verse 8. He says twice, once in verse 8, once in verse 9, let him be accursed. Now, this word is anathema, which you might recognize, okay? And let me just tell you something about this word anathema. That word anathema is not just cursed with a curse. That word anathema is cursed by God. Yikes. Okay? By the way, would you rather have the hand of man upon you or the hand of God upon you? Yeah. I think I'll take the hand of man, okay? I'm talking about it in a negative way, the wrath-wise, okay? Now, we want God's gracious hand upon us, obviously, right? But if men are going to judge me, men are going to judge me. And let me just tell you something. If we die because of it, then we die because of it, right? I mean, that's okay. We can read Fox's Book of Martyrs. We can look through history. And people that stood for the faith were killed by men. And what else are they going to scare us with? We're going to threaten you with heaven unless you recant. Oh, no. You know, right? Oh, man, I get to go to heaven sooner. I mean, you understand? No, I mean, obviously, I'm not promoting you living a short life, but get our perspective, right? I mean, what are you going to threaten us with? Going to see Jesus? Going to the street of gold and all those? I mean, okay. But I don't want to face the wrath of God. I don't want to be cursed by God. If men curse us, we should count it a joy, right? I mean, they curse Christ. And so the world's going to curse. The world doesn't like us. But to have the curse of God upon your life, ouch. You understand, folks, that that's not something you can recover from. That's a big deal. To be accursed, if you preach any other gospel, any other truth, and that's why he is putting such a magnitude on these statements. That's why he's using the strongest words possible, because it's a formal warning about the gospel. Don't mess with the gospel. Don't mess with the word of God. Don't be a one that's going to take people away from the gospel or try to subvert the gospel or to pervert the gospel. It is a bad place to be. You understand, Christians, it is important for us to promote the gospel. I'm glad I had one in my pocket. It's not up to us to necessarily convince them. It's up to us to share with them the wonderful works of our great God. Go to Acts 26 and we'll kind of wrap this up tonight. Paul was so full, if you will, and so set on this truth. And by the way, wouldn't you, if the Son of God was the one that kicked you off your beast of burden and blinded you and showed you a bright light and took you out in the wilderness and taught you himself about himself? That's pretty amazing, right? But I want you to just feel the words of Paul. Look at verse 15. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." And now I want you to realize, Paul knew who Jesus was. He saw him. You understand? Paul saw him. Paul witnessed it. And by the way, he was a Pharisee. And we don't know which one of the gatherings that he was at when Christ was there. But you understand, Jesus knew him. And if you will, he knew Jesus. And knew of Jesus. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So he said, Paul, I'm not done teaching you. I'm not done showing you some things. I'm going to show you some more. He says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, by the way, which he did that, unto whom now I send thee. So not only has he been taught by the Lord, but he's been physically and personally commissioned by God for this purpose. So Paul is carrying this great burden of the gospel upon his shoulders because, if you will, the Lord Jesus Christ grabbed him by the shoulders and said, Paul, I am putting this into you and I'm giving you this purpose. Now go. I mean, whew, didn't get much greater than that. Okay? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Here's that switch again, right? But this time from darkness to light. And so he says to the Galatians, I marvel that you are so soon removed. He said, I came in and with a personal commission from Jesus Christ, and I turned you from darkness to light, and now someone is messing around and wanting to turn you from light to darkness. And I take that personally. So he says, they're to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. So again, he says, I marvel because I came in and I turned you from the power of Satan to God. And now these fools are coming in and they're trying to turn you from the power of God back to Satan. They're perverting the gospel. He tells King Agrippa, he says this, he says, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them in Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. That sounds pretty bold. Is this in this guy or what? And that's exactly what he's talking about. He says, do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that by the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Or in modern day, right? Y'all got that, right? Wow. I mean, if that statement doesn't give you a goosebumps, your goosebumper is broken. It's amazing. And folks, listen. That's been passed on to us. And we have an opportunity to just straight forth preach and teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be one that falls prey to the perversions out there. If there is some that preach any other thing, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.